Good morning, everyone. My name is the Reverend Rodney Britz. I'm standing in for Michael, who has given me the privilege to share the pulpit today at St. Kyrian's. My sermon title today is very simply one that says, "Do all roads lead to God?" With that introduction, let me start off with a call to worship. Psalm 27 says this to us: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." Fabulous words of encouragement from the psalmist. Let us pray. Father God, as we turn again to you and to your word today, we pray, Lord, that you will draw close to us and that you will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Lord, let us rejoice in our salvation that you have so freely given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. And so, Father, as we now turn to the Scriptures, break it open for us in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I have two readings this morning. The first one comes from Acts chapter 17 and reading from verses 22 to 31. Hear the word of God. Acts 17, 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So, you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everything life and breath and everything else. From one man he made the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history, and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." We turn now to our gospel lesson for this morning, and I would refer you to John chapter 14 and reading from verses 15 to 21. John chapter 14 and reading from verses 15 to 21. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments, said Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Amen, and may the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word. To his name be all glory, honor, and praise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. And as I speak, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak words of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear friends, in the comic strip Peanuts, created by the late great Charles Schulz, Linus, one of the characters there, and Charlie Brown, the main character, are engaged in a very, very serious conversation. It goes something like this. "I have a theological question for you," says Linus. "When you die and go to heaven, are you graded on a percentage or on a curve?" "On a curve, of course," exclaims Charlie. Puzzled, Linus asks, "How can you be so sure about that?" Charlie brightly answers, "I'm always sure about things that are a matter of opinion." I think there's some truth in what is going on in that little kind of comic strip. We have so many opinionated people these days that it is quite scary in many ways. But this morning, we are going to talk about one of the most important theological matters of opinion in the world. Yes, I know it's a huge claim. But here's the issue. Does it really, really, really matter what we believe? And do all roads lead to God that is so boldly proclaimed by certain sectors of society? There's an ancient Hindu story that tells about six blind men who were brought to see an elephant. "It's very much like a wall," said the first man as he touched the side of the elephant. "It's very much like a spear," said the second man as he stroked the elephant's tusk. And the third man, taking the elephant's squirming trunk in hand, said, "It's very much like a snake." "Nonsense," the fourth man shouted as he wrapped his arms about one of the legs and concluded, "This wondrous beast is very much like a tree." The fifth man, touching the elephant's ear, cried, "Even the blindest man can see this animal is like a fan." The sixth man, grabbing the tail, assured all his friends that the elephant is really like a rope. My friends, the point is this. different people from different religions often say they have the truth. The gods they describe are different as the... let me rephrase that again. The gods they described are as different as the blind men and the elephant. Many conclude today that just like the blind men of the elephant parable, everybody's right because we experience facets about the same God or of the same God. So, because everybody here now is right, then surely it stands to reason that all faiths must therefore lead to God. Right? Wrong. You see, many years ago, St. Paul encountered exactly the same problem in Athens. Athens was a very religious city. Within the city, there were over 30,000, get this, 30,000 idols. One scholar noted it was easier to find an idol in Athens than to find a human being. I think that's quite funny. And yet, while highly religious, these people were confused about which God to worship. And to make sure they worshipped them all, they even erected an altar to an unknown God. Can you imagine that? But before we dismiss these people as uneducated peasants filled with superstition, we need to know that Athens was the center of great learning in its day. It was here that the idea of democracy took root. Many of the world's early philosophers and thinkers lived here. Sophocles, Euripides, Plato, Socrates, and many more. Yeah, in Athens, they had one of the greatest universities of the ancient world. It was the center of philosophy and literature and science and art. This was a city dedicated to truth, dedicated to wisdom, and yet, in the pursuit of all this truth and wisdom, there was confusion. Because when it came to God, they didn't have a cooking clue of what truth to embrace. And they didn't know which God to hang on to. And so they, just to be sure, believed all gods were somehow equal. In our learnedness today, we have the same problem. In our cleverness today, we are unable, or as many people are today, unwilling to discover the truth about God, and so religion gets relegated as a matter of personal taste rather than an objective reality. You see, our opinions count now instead of the truth of the scriptures. In our society filled with relative philosophy, we've developed a consumer mentality when it comes to God and the church. Many in the world today don't believe there's a right way or a wrong way. It's just a matter of taste, where we say to one another, well, I'm okay, you're okay. It makes me feel good, all is good, and so on. We live in a world where the truth of the Bible is rejected for subjective truth. If you like Hinduism, as an example, as opposed to Buddhism, well, that's okay, that's your choice. It's like preferring Big Macs to Burger Kings. And if there is a God, well, we're sure that he'll understand because we are trying to reach out to him in different ways. It shouldn't make any difference as long as we are sincere. Someone once said to me, we can be sincerely wrong with sincere consequences and I've never forgotten about that. Sincerely wrong with eternal consequences. You see, Christianity takes this choice out of the equation because we say it does matter what we believe. We believe that not all roads lead to salvation or to God or to heaven. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In John 14, verse 6, Peter declared, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And here in Acts 17, Paul is telling the Athenians the very same thing, and he ends with these words. "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set the day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Let's be clear here, folks. Paul is saying that God has no intention of being tolerant anymore. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but not anymore. Now, God calls for repentance and not open-mindedness. We will not please God by being Hindus. We won't please God by being Muslims. We won't get into heaven by flushing our Buddhist statue. If you don't believe me, then notice the crux of Paul's argument. God's calling us to repent because there will be a day of judgment. In our cleverness, folks, today, we are fond of telling people that no one has the right to tell others what to believe because it's just not politically correct. What Paul is declaring is not politically correct because he is saying they were wrong and that they will be judged. And if people don't recognize that they are wrong, the consequences can be deadly. When it comes to Almighty God, we cannot afford to be broad-minded at all. But how do we really know what we believe is right as Christians? Paul tells us in verse 31, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." You see, it is only Jesus Christ our Lord who died on the cross for our sins, paid the price for us, was dead and was buried, and was raised to life for us. Those who challenge our faith are fond of trying to get us to defend sides or side issues like the following. Do you really believe that God created the world in 7 days? Or do you really believe that there was a flood that covered the whole earth? Or do you really believe Moses parted the Red Sea and crossed on dry ground? You see, if we argue about minor issues, we'll have missed the point. The only proof God seems to be concerned with is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul meant when he wrote, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, friends, we don't have to defend the Bible or doctrine or even God. It's important to know the answers to those questions. What we need to do is to proclaim Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, "Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Paul didn't win the debate because the converts were few. In fact, the crowd's response was mixed. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." Paul was faithful. He was faithful in proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. And we read, "A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Amongst them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Damaris, a number of others." In the 1800s, a famed British preacher named Alexander McLaren once got a skeptic to promise him that he would attend his church for 4 Sundays and listen to McLaren presented presented the basics of Christianity over that period. The skeptic was true to his word and listened intently to McLaren's sermons. After the 4th message, he became a believer. Of course, McLaren was delighted and couldn't resist the impulse to ask which of the 4 sermons brought him to this decision. The skeptic replied, "Your sermons, sir, were helpful, but they were not what finally persuaded me. What changed his mind," he said, "was an elderly woman he had helped on a slippery sidewalk." He recalls, "She looked up into my face and said, 'I wonder if you know my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is everything in the world to me. I would like you to know him too.'" Yeah, friends, we see objective truth revealed in a subjective way. Not all paths lead to God. Only Jesus has the key to eternal life. Have you shared your Jesus lately? And rejoice if you are on the way. Rejoice. But if you are not, reconsider and return to Jesus. And as you think about these things, may the Lord bless you richly. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we could spend together, for this time that we could engage your word and be challenged in terms of our own belief and faith. Father, we pray that your peace will be with us for the rest of this day and week. And Lord, I commit St. Kyrian's into your care and keeping. And I pray, Lord, that you will return Mike, their minister, back to them safely and soundly to take up the reins of ministry in this beautiful church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my dear friends, that's all for today. Just a thank you to Mike for allowing me to take the pulpit. And I wish you everything of the best as you go forward with your ministry here at St. Kyrian's. Bye-bye.